Good morning, everyone. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. So glad to be worshiping with you this Sunday or whatever day of the week it happens to be. We are in week three of challenging each other to pray dangerous prayers, prayers that go beyond thanking God for our food and safety as we travel. These are prayers that have the power to change us from the inside out, to radically alter us to speak and to act and to live more like Jesus. We invite God to search us, to bring comfort and disruption into our lives. We invite God to renew us so that we can share the joy we found in Jesus with others. And that leads us right into the third dangerous prayer. Here it is. Watch this.
God, I've been comfortable for way too long. Please, forgive me. I know you want to use me to show your love in this world. Give me eyes to see needs of others, and a heart that dares to get involved where you are working. God, my life is yours. Whatever you want, wherever you lead, here I am, Lord. Send me.
God, send me. We pray for God to search us and to renew us, but not just for our own benefit, but so that we can reach out to others, to a world full of hurting and wounded people. This prayer moves us beyond a safe, tame version of comfortable American Christianity, and it opens us up to go and to do whatever God wants to do in and through our lives. This, my friends, is one incredibly dangerous prayer. Now, many people, when they pray, "God, send me," they picture themselves being sent to the ends of the earth to show others the love of God. And that terrifies them and us. Now, God could certainly do that. But if God does, you will have the gifts and the talents and the passion to want to do that. God sending you could also be as simple as wanting you to talk to your neighbor, to get to know the person just beyond your fence. God sending us does not have to be around the world. It can be to our literal backyard or upstairs neighbor. Now, whether around the world or just beyond the fence, we can respond to God sending us, calling us to go, in at least one of three ways, just like some very well-known biblical characters and heroes. We can have this rose-colored understanding of our favorite biblical characters, believing they got everything right all of the time. But that is certainly not the case. Let's take a look at three responses to God sending through the lives of Jonah, Moses, and Isaiah. First, Jonah. Jonah was an ancient prophet of Israel who was called to go on God's behalf to one of Israel's most hated enemies. They were brutal. When God called Jonah said, "Here I am, not going to do it." Jonah runs far and fast in the opposite direction. Even after God brings him back and Jonah witnesses the hearts of a horrifically violent people transformed, Jonah still doesn't get it. Sometimes we don't know exactly where God wants to send us. Other times we know deep in our bones what God wants to do, where we should go, and we just ignore. We run, we suppress what God is clearly wanting to do in us and through us, just like Jonah. Second, we can respond like Moses. Moses, an Israelite raised in Egyptian luxury, spends decades on the run as a fugitive. Until one day, God calls him to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt through God's power. As God encourages him and promises Moses God will be with him every step of the way, Moses says, "Here I am, send someone else." Even if we're convinced God wants us to go around the world or just talk to our neighbor, even though we're fully capable of getting to know someone, that's still terrifying. It's still terrifying to do what we know God has called us to do. We can opt to respond like Moses and request, respectfully or not so respectfully, "God, send someone else." The third response comes from the life of Isaiah. Our scripture this morning is Isaiah 6, 1-8 in the Old Testament. As you flip there in your Bible or load it up on your device, let me tell you a little bit about Isaiah. Isaiah was smart, well-born, well-connected. Isaiah had every reason to look forward to an amazing career as a landowner or a politician. But he had an experience of God around age 18, and it changed everything. For more than 40 years, Isaiah was God's mouthpiece to the royal court, enraging kings who looked out only for themselves, and even guided a halfway decent king once. This book bearing his name is essentially a collection of oracles, scholars call them. The closest equivalent term for us today would be sermons. They're sermons and oracles. They seek to lift and uplift and encourage, as well as to challenge and disrupt the people and those ruling the people. Now it's time for the oracle with Don. Now it's time for the oracle with Andy. Now our scripture today is that disruptive moment in Isaiah's life at age 18, when he would become God's spokesperson, not a wealthy landowner or a politician. Here is that powerful vision that shaped the rest of his life. Let's start with Isaiah 6:1. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he'd taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here I am, send me." When God sends us, when the calling is certain, we can say, "Here I am, not going to do it. Here I am, send somebody else." Or, "Here I am, send me." In order for us to be in a place like Isaiah, ready and willing to say, "Here I am, God, send me," whether to our own upstairs neighbors or around the world, there are genuine experiences, three genuine experiences that are needed. So we're ready to go. Whenever God says, go. And we see all three of these genuine experiences right in this passage. The first is an experience of God's presence. There are so many fascinating pieces in this scripture, from God sitting on a throne with an impressive robe, these strange seraphim creatures, and the temple shaking just because these creatures spoke. But as fascinating as those things can be, I want you to know this about experiencing God's presence. It can be terrifying and absolutely overwhelming. When you genuinely experience God's presence, you're likely not going to see seraphim in the temple like Isaiah did, but it will be just as overwhelming and undeniable that God is with you, and you cannot help but respond, just like Isaiah does. Now, in my own life, when I've had powerful experiences of God, it was both comforting and disrupting. It was overwhelming and terrifying. I didn't see any seraphim. I didn't see the temple. But wherever we go, we can experience God's presence. For me, it was in a college theater, or it could be in a church sanctuary, or a hotel ballroom. It was in that hotel ballroom where I was worshiping with 1,000 other high school students that it was as clear as day that God's presence was there and that God was calling me into pastoral ministry. It was overwhelming, friends, and a little terrifying. Having a genuine experience of God's presence, it can happen anywhere. There are these moments in our lives where the veil between us and God becomes very thin, and our experiences line up very much with what happens to Isaiah. Having a genuine experience of God's presence helps us to know God is moving in our life and that God is with us every single step of the way. And once we know that God is right with us, the second genuine experience happens. We are acutely aware of our sinfulness. We are acutely aware that we are broken and sinful, and God is not. Isaiah put it like this. Then Isaiah said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Now, acknowledging that we are broken, it's a necessary step as we ponder God's call in our lives. We've seen it play a critical role in the other dangerous prayers of God, search me, God, renew me. We need to be dealing with our own stuff before we're sent out to serve others. Because if we don't deal with our own stuff, our own sins, our own issues, we can make our issues other people's issues. Instead of seeing people where they truly are and what they need, we can't see beyond the bow of our own problems and make our problems other people's problems. We need to deal with our own stuff as a necessary part of being sent and going. Now notice, though, Isaiah doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop that he's lamenting that he's a sinful human being and gets stuck there with no hope, sinning forever in his brokenness. No, in Isaiah's vision, God, through a seraphim, comes to the rescue. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he'd taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.'" Yes, we are a broken people, but never forget that God shows us grace and forgiveness as we seek to be sent on God's mission, a sinful people on the way to living more like Jesus. As we pray this dangerous prayer, "God, send me," we need a genuine awareness of God's presence, of our sinfulness, and an understanding of God's grace. Without a solid and deep understanding of grace, we become like the rigid teachers in Jesus' day, who were so hung up on the letter of the law that they could not see God right in front of them in the flesh in Jesus. It's through grace that we're not given permission to keep sinning, but it's through grace we find the freedom to keep pursuing lives free of sin, even as we fall back from time to time. We make mistakes into repeated patterns that are tough to break. God knows our condition, knows we're broken, sinful human beings, but God also knows our potential to live lives breaking free of the sin that hangs up each one of us, our potential to be sent so many places, near and far, to bring hope and healing and life in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The habit of praying these dangerous prayers regularly, "Search me, renew me, send me," deeply transforms us. When we have a genuine awareness of God's presence, a realistic take on our sinfulness, and a solid understanding of God's grace, we are ready to go. We are ready to do as Isaiah did in his call story. "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Not, "Here I am, not going to do it." Not, "Here I am, send somebody else." But, "Here I am, send me." Here's one of Legacy's own call story in a pastoral ministry. This is just a little bit of Amanda's story. Watch this.
"Over the past 2 years or so, I have sensed a stirring in my spirit to explore a call to ministry. I've sensed him speaking in my personal times of devotion, through other Christ followers, and through my current work at Legacy. One of my favorite places to spend time with the Lord is outside, and one of my favorite local destinations is Fort Lincoln. At several points in the last year, I carved out time to hit those hiking trails with God's word in my hand and with an open heart and mind. And while I'm never disappointed with how that time is spent, I have recently been surprised at times by what God is saying. At different points, he's wanted me to consider that there was something more. The Spirit began speaking to me about the idea of congregational care in our church and how closely related it is to connection. Keeping people connected is so, so important to me. So what might it look like to couple it with care? Much to my surprise, I woke up the next morning with a very strong impression that I should tell Brandon I wanted to explore a call to ministry. I spent my time that morning with the Lord, praying, reading, listening, asking questions, and considering what this even might mean. And while very few of my questions were answered, I was confident that I needed to take this first step. I spoke with Milt before our days began, and he agreed. When I look at these moments, it's hard not to see a picture of God patiently pursuing and patiently calling me. Calling me to what? I still do not know. But nevertheless, I would like to explore a call to ministry, and I am excited for the help that you, my church, will bring to this process, helping me to listen to what God has to say, helping me to discern what others are saying, the meaning of what we're hearing, and to respond well to what I have discerned. I do believe that God has led me to Legacy to love and serve the people in our community at this time and in this place. And what is clear to me now is that there is more.
What an awesome story, right? I think one of the main worries of praying a prayer like God send me is that we're so worried God's going to call us to do something way outside of our gifts, talents, and passions. God didn't in Amanda. God didn't in me. God won't in you. If God calls you to serve on the other side of the planet, that's because God has gifted you and given you a passion to do so. So friends, are you ready? Are you ready to pray this dangerous prayer? God, send me. God, I've been comfortable for way too long. Because God will make God's presence known. We'll be aware of our brokenness. And we'll be aware of God's grace. Then when God calls, we can say boldly, just like Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." Let's pray together this prayer every day. The words will be on the screen for all of us. Say it with me. God, I've been comfortable for way too long. Please forgive me. I know you want to use me to show your love in this world. Give me eyes to see the needs of others and a heart that dares to get involved where you are working. God, my life is yours. Whatever you want, wherever you need, here I am, Lord. Send me. Amen. Now we'll receive God's tithes, your gifts, and your offerings. You can give online, on our website, or via the Legacy app. Your offerings make possible Legacy subscription boxes for kids, students, and adults to stay connected even as we are apart. Sign up and learn more about them at legacyumc.org/fall. Now let's sing our closing song together.